Hey, it's your old pal Slim, and this is 70mm, finally a podcast about movies. Each week, I'm joined by famous artist Danny Haas and writer, poet, Protolexus.
It's like, who, what, why?
And together, as friends and film lovers forever, we discuss recently watched movies. Later in this episode, we're discussing Luc Besson's action thriller, Leon the Professional. Is true love possible between a contract killer and an orphaned Natalie Portman? Enjoy. Big 70mm news. Probably the biggest news we've ever had. Outside of having Dale on the Jaws episode. We've been thinking about it a long time. We're launching two things today. Two things officially. After much thought and debate. We wanted to find a way to connect with the villagers, you know, and then offer a way for people to support the show. So the ideas we came up with include talking movies together on Discord. Have you vote and choose some of the movies we cover. Give early access to episodes before anyone else. See Danny's art before anyone else. See it even before Casey, his own wife. You know? That's how soon we're going to see this art. Also, listen to us record the show every week. And exclusive supporter-only episodes. And that is all going to be through Patreon. There's only one tier. It's going to be $4 a month, and you get access to everything that I just described.
Amazing.
And on top of that, the other thing we're launching, we're finally launching a storefront so that people can buy prints of Danny's 70mm artwork, and that's going to be at vhsvillage.com. I was looking at it earlier. Danny's done it again. storefront design is buttery smooth on my phone. I was just looking at it.
He's a webmaster.
That's what they call me.
In another life. So if you become a patron of the aforementioned Patreon for 70mm, which you can find a link to in the episode notes or the chapter right now, it's at patreon.com/70mm. But you can get 20% off everything in the store. So if you're a patron, you get a discount on the prints or anything else that eventually gets added to the store. Not only that, but this is maybe my favorite thing. If you become a patron, you get a rare, physical, laminated VHS Village membership card shipped right to your door. Can we talk about the design of this membership card real quick? Is this the greatest design in show history?
Yeah, I mean, I was gobsmacked when I saw it. not to quote you so soon, Slim, yeah. But Danny's done it again.
Like, it's, I looked at it when Danny shared the art for this membership card, which you can find in the episode notes. I love the VHS Village logo. I think this is the first time we've ever shared your VHS Village logo. It's going to be on the card. It's going to be on our Discord and IG probably right now. But I didn't even notice the tape until like a full minute later. I was so enthralled with the design. So that's not going to be for sale anywhere else. Just for supporters of the show. So that's $4 a month. It's just one tier. We're going to take it slow. Maybe that'll be the only tier forever, but you'll get access to early episodes. You can listen to them in your normal podcast app. You get invited to our Discord where we can talk about movies, get the artwork early. We're big fans of, you know, small, tight-knit communities. Like, we have a group of our friends that we talk to every day on Slack. We're DMing all the time on there. So we wanted to create kind of like another place where people can talk movies, you know, like-minded people, you know, getting together. There's one other announcement. This is the biggest episode I've ever done right now. We've been talking for a long time of, you know, we did a Batman episode a while ago. One of the best episodes we've ever done. We said we're going to do Batman Returns. One day, for people that become supporters, that day is today. The Batman Returns episode is exclusive to our Patreon. And if you back the Patreon today, you can listen to that episode exclusively on Patreon. Proto, your thoughts on Batman Returns being exclusive to Patreon and the Villagers?
Wow. Well, yeah, you can go and listen to it. And we all know what was said on this episode. And if you're invested into the story, the storyline of 70 millimeter and what's going on, you're going to want to, I'll just say, you're going to want to listen to this episode. I need you.
I'm pretty excited to have like the Villagers vote on future episodes. Maybe like patrons vote for future episodes. Maybe we finally listen to, or we finally watch certain things
mm-hmm.
that maybe we said we'd never do, but maybe the Villagers vote for it specifically. And maybe it happens. Who can say?
Batman and Robin.
And this is just the beginning.
Proto's going to jump in front of a train, I think, if we have to watch Batman and Robin. So that's the big news. Go to 70, go to our Instagram and find links to everywhere. Go just to the episode notes. We'll have links to everything. So that's the news today. Danny, how do you feel?
Oh, I'm excited. So much on the horizon right now for us.
I can't wait to get my hands on some prints.
Well, you got to pay for those, Matt.
Can I double up on discount codes somehow?
Can't stack those codes.
Can I stack codes?
Oh, I am so excited for the Discord and that we would have a place to chat with the people who watch or listen to our show. And, you know, we're all movie lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to watch movies and talk about them with each other. And now we're inviting everyone in to the family to come and talk about movies, because every movie lover deserves a family. And that's what we're given here at 70 millimeter.
Can we get that on a shirt, Danny? Can we get that on the storefront?
I think I can.
So can we also just have Proto's face on the shirt with just that quote over
the arms wide open?
The hand movie you just did is very, very like a Christ-like figure, I think, somehow.
I like it.
Enough shenanigans. Next week, well, first of all, our episode this week is Leon the Professional, 1994, Luke Besson. A lot of buzz around this movie on our IG DMs. And next week is what we call a Proto pick. Proto has chosen the first ever winner of the Best Motion Picture Oscar. And that movie is Wings. That's next week for our 30th, big 30th episode. Danny, did you watch any movies this week?
Oh, yes. I watched a couple. Casey had a movie that she grew up having nightmares over. She had seen, my wife had seen when she was being babysat. It was called Wait Until Dark. It was an old Audrey Hepburn movie. And it was good. It was fine. Wasn't scary at all. But I can see how probably a 4 or 5 year old could be scared of it. And then I jumped into two other movies. One that's controversial. I gave a 1-star review to La La Land because it's garbage. I was quite bored with that movie. I don't even know where to begin on it, I'll just leave it at that. No, it's okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I'm going to get enough comments already. I mean, I already put up one thing and got plenty of feedback from it.
A lot of feedback on IG about your La La Land.
Yeah, it's just a musical with terrible music. What can I say? So, and a bad story. I mean,
have you seen La La Land?
Yeah, I have. I don't really have any feelings about it. I think I remember liking it. I gave it 3 stars. But yeah, when you said that, that was I thought that kind of rung true because I don't remember a single song from it. Right. But I guess when I was watching it, I wasn't really thinking that I was watching a musical. So I didn't really care. Like to me, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to watch this musical. It was more of like, I'm watching a movie with some songs in it that don't really matter to me. But I thought that was interesting. Yeah, it doesn't have any memorable songs. Or I don't even remember if they're good or not.
Yeah, no good memorable songs and then no good memorable story in between the songs. So I'm good to never see that movie again. And then finally, I'd watched Amelie. for the very first time. I gave that 5 stars because it's absolutely incredible. Probably one of the most beautiful movies I've seen in a long time. I really loved that movie. So
I remember you posting that review, and I think Proto and I were playing Apex Legends, and we're wondering when and if Danny was going to hop online, but there was a lot of letterbox activity, so we figured you were having some kind of gin and tonic evening.
And that you gin and tonic.
You were really hot on the IG account.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I think we
surmised you were laying flat on your back in bed with your phone on your chest, sipping some kind of drink in bed.
Yeah. So going back to back with La La Land and Amelie was a special weekend.
Mm. That cover of Amelie, that cover has always fascinated me. Like I've always wanted to watch that because of that cover.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No, I haven't.
I'd be interested to see what you would think of it.
Yeah, I remember that at West Coast Video Shelf. If I recall correctly, that was a double DVD for some reason.
Yeah, it's an Oscar for Best Foreign because it's in French, I believe.
Mm. What a week for you.
Yeah, big week.
Proto, are you able to top last week's average rating that you had? One of the all-time best weeks in Letterboxd history?
No, I'm not. But it's a similar kind of week for me. I watched another 2 Ghibli Studio films.
My God. You're running out of films.
I really am. I'm in a dangerous level here. I watched Spirited Away and Kiki's Delivery Service. I gave them both 3 stars. I really enjoyed them. I didn't love them in the way that I've loved other ones. They were both really, really good and fascinating. They have of course the animation is beautiful. I just feel like the stories maybe didn't hit me in the same way, especially Spirited Away. That one kind of stood out to me as like the most different of the ones that I've seen. Mm-hmm. Kiki reminded me a lot of My Neighbor Totoro, and I love My Neighbor Totoro. And it's a movie that if you want to feel good, you could just put this on and it'll make you feel better. It's great for that. I thought of something though, while I was thinking about these movies, and I wonder what you guys would say. If you had to choose between all the Ghibli Studio films or the Pixar library, you could only have one. Which would you choose?
Danny looks horrified right now. I have to make that decision.
No, I could. It's Ghibli for me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's just a different level of storytelling, I believe, and they're world building for those. Just something I would definitely want to live in for sure.
You wouldn't want to live in the Wall-E universe?
No. We're already almost there.
Maybe it's because I'm watching them now for the first time that I feel this way, but I agree. There's something really special about the Ghibli movies that have them stand out and that they're so different. Mm-hmm. And they make me feel different, and they make me feel good while I watch them in a different way than the Pixar movies do.
Mm-hmm. There's this little thing that Miyazaki does. I think he calls it Ma, M-A, just pronounce Ma. And it's like, it's moments of nothing that are in his movies. And they're just these quick little scenes that give you depth into the environment and what is going on. And it's like either one of the characters walking by a window and it just pauses on that window for maybe 5 seconds longer than it should, but it just allows your mind to just feel like these places actually exist in this world. And so there's just something special about Ghibli films that he is able to, bring out.
I've only seen like 2 Ghibli movies, so I can't possibly offer a vote.
Save it. We'll come back to you in 6 months. The other movie I watched was Okja, which is the Netflix film by Bong Joon-ho, the director of Parasite. This was one of his earlier flicks. I didn't see this. I remember when it came out and the cover, I think I might've watched the trailer and it seemed kind of silly and like a gimmick to me, like this giant animated or CGI pig. I was like, this is some kind of low budget Netflix movie. So I didn't even bother. But then, of course, after I saw Parasite and was looking at the other movies that he did, I was like, oh, I got to go back and watch this now. I gave it 4 stars. It was In the same way that Parasite kind of blurs the lines between genres, I feel like this movie does that as well. There's some like really great humor. Jake Gyllenhaal gives one of the weirdest performances I can remember.
Does he play the pig?
Stupid. Wow, that would be amazing. But it's also pretty heavy. He kind of attacks, in the same way that in Parasite, he attacks a lot of things about our society. He does the same in this, and it's pretty heavy. Nice. Has you thinking, but it's a good flick. I recommend it.
Before I get into a movie that I watched, I do want to point out that we made an official 70mm pod Letterboxd account this time around, and I'll have a link to it in the episode notes, but we moved the list to that account, and we made a bonus episode list. So some cool things coming to that account potentially in the near future, but be sure to follow that account for the updated set list for the future. As I mentioned, Letterboxd, if you share the show on social media, spread the word about the show, help the show out, you are entered in to win a year of Letterboxd Pro. Letterboxd is free in general, but you can get some additional features on paying for the Letterboxd Pro, which is, you know, your history and movie watching stats. Proto and I think Danny were talking about the movies we watched this year. There's like a stats page where you can see how many films you watched this year. Proto just crossed 100, I think. Congratulations, Proto.
Thank you.
Proud and you can also search your watch list by where it's available for streaming. Super helpful. So this week's winner, Rob McNeil.
Oh, yeah.
Robald McDonald on IG and Twitter. So there you go. Free year.
Congrats, Rob.
Congrats.
One movie I want to point out, if I may.
Please.
Just real briefly, because I know, as mentioned earlier, you can get Batman Returns on our Patreon exclusively. I watched Batman Forever.
Yeah, baby.
It's the first time. You know, I thought it was like a long time since I watched it. According to Letterboxd, I watched it in March of this year. I don't remember ever doing that in March of this year. March of this year. Like, who knows what the hell was going on around that time.
Wow. We
know. 3.5 stars. I'm not going to say a whole lot. I'll save my comments for the Batman Returns episode, which you can listen to right now in our Patreon. But I just wish we got some more Val, you know?
Oh, yeah.
More than one Val picture.
It's taken too soon.
Taken too soon. Next viewing, it might be a 4-banger, if I could be frank with you. It's growing on me over time.
Maybe we just keep doing the Batmans for Patreon.
Oh,
okay. Oh, we lead up right up to Robbie Patty.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Wow, 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 wow. You heard it here first. There's already things happening on the Patreon. $4 a month, one tier.
You blink, you're going to miss it.
Oh, my God. All right, let's get into Leon, the professional. Leon, Luke Besson, Natalie Portman, and the guy who plays Leon. Gene Reno. Sorry, his name escaped me. Proto, can you walk us through this action thriller 1994?
Leon is the hitman with all the milk. A simple man but dangerous killer, Leon is a man of few words who does the dirty work in New York City's underbelly. He never sleeps. He meticulously cares for his houseplant and is always sure to have a gallon of milk at the ready. His life is simple until his neighbors are butchered by a rogue DEA agent. Matilda, the sole survivor, seeks refuge with Leone. She soon learns what Leone does and convinces him to take her under his wing. Teaching her how to be a cleaner. Matilda is a quick learner and wants to exact revenge on the agents who killed her family. She learns the trade, but is she ready to take a life and become a professional?
Is Gary Oldman the biggest weirdo on the planet on this movie?
Serious, what's that movie? The Fifth Element? Remember him in that?
Yeah, did that come out before this? Let me look. Maybe this was the inspiration. Yeah, this came out 3 years before Fifth Element. So Luke was probably just licking his lips with Gary doing this performance. He's like, I got something for you, baby. Coming up real quick. this is a movie that I remember being on the DVD shelf at work at West Coast Video. And this would have been a movie that I would have like taken home one Tuesday night or whatever, like 10 o'clock when we closed. Like, what am I watching tonight? What am I bringing back tomorrow? Just some random action movie that I'd never heard of. And I feel like I have seen this at some point. I remember a lot of this movie in fragments, but I can't remember the last time I sat down to watch it. Proto, had you ever seen this movie?
Never. This is one that's I've always, you know, of course, heard about, seen the recognizable cover story. Natalie Portman as a 12-year-old, one of an early role for her. But yeah, never seen it before.
Yeah, I'd seen it probably once, maybe twice before this. And it's funny because when I do some art shows, the galleries have like a list of like movie posters to recreate. And this one is always on it and it's always taken by another artist. Hmm. It's like the super popular, I don't know what it is about it. There's something about this film that people, you know, love. And I'm glad we got to do it.
There's a lot in this movie as I was watching it that felt like things that have become cliches in action movies. Like this is almost kind of like the baseline action hitman movie where like there was one scene where Leon was taking a shower and you know, decompressing. And as I was seeing it, like, man, how many times have I seen some tough guy taking a decompressing shower in the last 20 years? It's like every movie.
And the blood going into the drain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I take one every day.
The movie starts off with your mini introduction to Leon doing a job, a cleaning. And man, how good is that scene where he just like systematically takes out these bodyguards and gets this guy and doesn't kill him. He like gives him, quote, a message.
I love when he comes out of the dark at the end of it. It's so perfect.
There's one goon that has an amazing head of hair. It's like the receding hairline, but it's like down past his shoulders.
I wrote that bodyguard's mullet, comma, Jesus. I don't know what that guy was thinking. He needed to slow down or something.
So good.
Yeah, the scene where he comes out of the shadows, holy cow. Oh, it was amazing.
Yes.
What is the drug that Gary Oldman is on, you think, that he's like cracking those pills in his mouth?
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know. I mean, I've never seen anyone take a pill like that.
I take a pill like that every day.
It's like he was, Danny does that in the shower as he decompresses. It was almost like he was turning into the Incredible Hulk or holding him back by the, or Jekyll and Hyde, some kind of strange reaction to that pill. And it was freaking me out.
It was giving me Edgar vibes from Men in Black, the way he would twitch as well.
Oh, wow.
It's like a lizard inside that skin.
Are we doing Men in Black in the future?
No.
One of the things that I remember hearing about this movie is the relationship between Leon and Matilda was like, I'm doing like a hand gesture where my hand is like going flat and then up and flat and then up. Like, I don't know how to describe that in words. Like, not sketchy, but like, a little near sketchy. And I don't know. What did you guys think of the overall? We should have said that we watched the extended version that's available, the quote unquote international version. It's like just over 2 hours with some additional scenes. But Perla, did you hear any of that before this movie? Did you get any of that while you're watching it?
Yeah, a little bit. There's one scene, the scene where they're doing like the charades with the famous people. Yeah, it was a little strange, little weird vibes coming from that scene. And maybe, I don't know if it's because of like the way Natalie acted as a 12-year-old, where she really commanded the scene so well, where it didn't seem like she's a 12-year-old fulfilling like a, you know, a small part in a movie, kind of like a Danny in Last Action Hero. She is like a main character and she takes over the scenes that she's in. She's like very strong performance in this film. So I don't know if that had something to do with it, of just that it was kind of yeah, a little strange. I don't know. What did you guys think?
That scene, I think, was probably when it starts to feel a little awkward. And I don't know if it's because she's already lying about her age. She tells Leon that she's 18, which I don't know. I was like, he doesn't really believe her, right?
Leon's but like a moron.
But he is a moron, right? So he's like, yeah, he's like believing she's 18. So there's always these little pockets of moments where he feels like he may cross the line. And she's egging it on, which is also mm-hmm. very interesting. And I don't know. There were very awkward moments, and it is interesting. And I think the Marilyn Monroe with her singing "Happy Birthday, Mr. President," I just wanted to crawl under the table or something until it was over. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's not in the United States version. Maybe that's only the European cut.
Yeah, maybe.
But she's amazing in this movie. Like, oh my gosh. I think this might have been her first role. I'm not sure, but God, can you imagine being like a casting director and just coming upon Natalie Portman at this age? I mean, geez Louise, you really found gold. And there's one scene that really stood out. I wasn't sure if you were going to choose this one for the art, was Gary Oldman's crew. You're not really sure that he's in the DEA yet. I don't think they revealed that, but he comes upon her dad and demands his cut of the cocaine, I guess, that they gave him. Like, you know, it seems watered down. So he wants to know what the hell happened, and he wants to know by noon. He gets there. He's late. The guy hasn't reached out to him, so he just, like, murders the entire family. And Natalie's character has gone out for milk for Leon, and she's coming by after this, like, entire slaughter has happened. And she overhears them talking about how, like, someone's missing or, like, they're all dead or whatever. So she just keeps walking to Leon's apartment, and she's, like, sobbing as she does this, and she's ringing his door. Leon is already aware that this, like, giant murder has taken place. So he's like, I'm not opening this door. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. getting involved. And she's standing there at the door while one of the henchmen is looking at her. She's, like, sobbing at the door, praying that he opens the door to let her in. He finally opens the door, and this light comes on her face. And she starts, like, smiling. What an amazing shot that was. Holy smokes. That was beautiful.
That feels like one of those scenes where you can, like, trace back on why someone's a famous actor. It's like you can come back to the scene. It's like you knew there was a future for her. Because, man, that scene is powerful.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I was getting a little choked up. I was like, oh, my God, Leon, open the damn door. Jesus.
Leon, you idiot.
She pulls it off so well. She pulls off her fear.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Just that, oh, my gosh, when she walks by that apartment knowing her whole family slaughtered inside, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. It was a great scene.
Yeah, I was so confused with that scene where everyone's dead and then Stan, Gary Oldman's character, is leaving and he tells one of his goons to stay behind. And he's like, well, what am I going to say? And he says, tell them
we were doing our job.
And I was like, what? What do you mean doing your job? That makes no sense. You just killed this whole family. You killed the 4-year-old and this teenage girl and this woman in the bathtub. What do you mean you're doing your job?
Oh my God.
That made like no sense at all. That was a crazy shot too.
That was a crazy shot.
With the bubbles? Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, I love that reveal where you find out that they're actually cops and just crooked Jekyll and Hyde drug-inducing cops. The one thing that doesn't hold up as well, I feel like, is the music in this movie. The score feels like something that should be deleted and replaced with something in the last 30 years. I don't know what it is about the score. Berto was nodding emphatically. What did you think?
Thank you for taking this on for us, Matt.
Yes. I think it was around this portion where the family gets murdered. There's some like track playing underneath of like this whole scene. And I just wrote a note that this music sucks. Mm-hmm. Like it totally did nothing for me. It was distracting to what was going on. Just not good at all. Didn't fit.
Danny Aiello in this movie. I didn't even realize until he showed up in that non-pizza place.
God, I love him.
As like Leon's, I don't know what you call him, not boss, but like handler. He hires him to do these jobs. Yeah, handler. Am I to believe that Leon, so he goes to meet Danny. Danny's like getting him jobs. And he holds on to his money for him. Leon's like a simple man. He does the job. Danny just holds on to the cash for him, gives him a little bit, I guess. Leon lives a modest life. Do you think Danny Aiello's character actually has that money for him. He's spent it all, right? He's spent it all on like drugs or something. There's no way he has Leon's.
He's just
money
not going to give it to him.
Right?
He'll keep stringing him on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, I felt even worse because Matilda goes to Danny Isle's character as requested by Leon, and he only gives her $100 a week. He's like, I ain't giving you this money. Like you need to, you're not going to become a professional. I'll give you a stipend every week so that you get a job or whatever. Here's your stipend, $100. $100? Get her that damn money, Danny. Mm-hmm. Is the money even there? I was like getting irrationally annoyed at his character for blowing all that money and never having it.
Well, also where they say that, I don't know if it's Leonette who says that he gets $5,000 for each job. And I'm thinking $5,000 to kill somebody? Mm-hmm. That sounds really cheap. I'm thinking like 25K, you know, minimum. And then I thought like, oh, that's probably what Greg's character is telling him, that it's $5,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that it would be a lot less money to begin with. At least that's what I assumed.
So he starts to train Matilda in his ways. You know, usually you would think that would just be completely irrational, but he's like, yeah, okay, I'll train you. And he had the shot where he's up on the rooftop with that sniper rifle, like overlooking Central Park. Man, that was an amazing scene. It's fun to look at. He's like telling her not to, you know, open the scope until like right before because the reflection might blow your position. And he's like legit training her to become a professional like contract killer. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was still a fun scene, even with that taking place.
I don't know. That scene, them sniping into Central Park just gave me bad vibes. It's just hard to look at nowadays. I'm just like, this feels way too real.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that it was like paintballs because I forgot what she was going to shoot out of that gun. I was like, is she really about to shoot this guy?
Yeah, because they kind of play it like she's a target.
Yeah, they totally do.
The scene before that where where she's trying to convince him to take her on and to train her, and he's like,
Matilda, you're just a little girl, so don't take it badly, but I don't think you could do it.
And she has the gun and he's like, you won't like shoot this gun. And then she like takes it over to the window and just like unloads the gun out the window. Oh, and then he's like, you're hired. And I'm thinking, she probably just killed a neighbor.
Why they had to move out.
What is going on? How is everyone in this movie allowed to walk around the city, blow up any room, any floor of an apartment and no cops know of anything that's going on? It's like through this whole movie, gunshots are going off everywhere.
I mean, that entire slaughter scene, probably half that floor is dead by the amount of bullets that were going through those walls, at the very least. Like, that entire department was probably, in real life, would have been shut down. Like, 50 dead in DEA bust gone wrong. I mean, hopefully that would have been shut down. Who knows in today's day and age, but yeah. A lot more death than you would think. I wrote, soon after this, the charade scene was strange. And soon after this, she says she's falling in love with Leon, Natalie Portman's character. That's when, I think soon after this, let me see, there's like a dinner scene. It's probably later, but now that I'm talking about the love stuff, he like takes her to this like expensive dinner and she's drinking champagne. And I don't know how nobody in that restaurant was looking at them the entire time.
Right.
Because like, I'm calling the cops at that point. I'm calling child services. I'm telling the people that work there to block the door so they don't get out. But like, something funky is happening there and more people should have been noticing.
This 12-year-old girl is having her way with this simple man. Someone help him.
I'd be pulling Leon aside. Do you need help? Are you okay, sir? Are you in danger? Yeah, she wanted to kiss him at dinner. She gets kind of drunk. And she has kind of like her own vendetta at this point where she wants to kill Gary Oldman. She does some detective work and figures out where his office is. And so she takes a pizza, quote, to the office and says, I have a delivery for him. She somehow gets through. She sees him go into the bathroom and she follows. But Gary, crack out of Gary's wise to this and is waiting for her. And she almost just gets murdered right there. Somehow escapes. And then Leon comes in to kill some of Oldman's cronies. And that's where you kind of are taken towards the big final act of the movie where all the cops descend upon Leon and Matilda. Like, you thought the first scene was intense. Like, the final act of this movie is maybe like 10 times more intense because like 3,000 cops come to try and kill Leon and this girl. And it's insane.
I love that so much, though.
What did you love about it?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I like the little bits in it where I think it's actually one of my favorite parts. Well, the gas mask switch is brilliant to me. I love that little spot. But I love when he's in the hallway and he has the gun to the guy's head that's just around the corner. Mm. And he's the one that takes that guy's hostage. I don't know why I love that little bit, but it's stupid fun.
But you mentioned the gas mask scene. I was about to say that this is now a cliched scene, but I looked up Silence of the Lambs to see when that came out. That came out in 91. So if you want to compare, you know, face mask scenes to gas mask scenes, I guess Silence of the Lambs did it first. There's also a scene before this that I missed where she makes him share the bed with her. Remember, he like doesn't sleep in a bed. He sleeps in that chair like a freak with his glasses on and makes him share the bed. But Prada, what did you think of the giant closing act fight?
He looks like he has something to say.
He does have something to say.
I thought it started out pretty cool, like where like that first group goes in, he annihilates them, and it ended up that he was up above the door of the apartment shooting down at them. It was like played really smart. But then after that, I felt like the whole thing kind of like went off the rails where they like pull up like this giant barrier and they shoot a rocket into his apartment. There are literally hundreds of SWAT in an apartment. Like, why are hundreds of them going after this one hitman? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was an army there going after him. I don't know. It was pretty silly. I thought it started well. I think it could have been, could have gone in a different direction and felt like more, give Leone more time to shine rather than have everything explode with, you know, a thousand cops there.
There is one scene that I felt was a pretty classic scene is when Gary Oldman gets word that like they're losing on the inside. So he requests everyone.
Bring me everyone.
What do you mean everyone?
Everyone!
Everyone! God, that's a great scene.
I've shared that gif many times.
So this entire building is just getting annihilated. It's over for everyone in this building is probably dead. He does the mask swap and you're kind of like, oh, sweet. He's going to get reunited with Matilda. She escaped out the little vent that he created. They did their goodbyes where they both said they love each other. She's kind of like sobbing because she doesn't want to leave him. And he's making his way out. But one more time, Gary's one step ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's on the cocaine brain and he knows what he's planning and he follows him out. And in the reverse of the scene that I mentioned earlier, I think he gets near the doors and the light hits Leon's face as opposed to Natalie Portman's opening the door in the beginning of the movie. But he gets killed, shot by Gary Oldman. One final trick up his sleeve, Leon hands him a grenade and said it was from Matilda. And then the whole thing explodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of Leon. Leon's croaked. I actually wasn't sure if he was going to make it out. I couldn't remember from when I saw this movie. I was like, well, maybe he's going to make it out. Maybe he and Natalie are going to live happily ever after, get married in 5 years and have a nice life together. But that was not the case.
I actually love that explosion, and I don't know why.
It looks real.
It looks way too good. It looked really like they blew up a street block in New York. And I know that's movie magic, but it was a very good explosion.
Yeah. Yeah. She goes to Danny Aiello soon after this because that's what Leon wanted her to do. They wanted to meet there or get the money from Danny. He says, no, you know, you're going to go to school. You're going to live a regular life. And that's Leon the professional. I know we glossed over a ton of stuff. There was one other scene that I wanted to mention, which was the training montage scene. Mm-hmm. He starts like bringing her on hits and they put like that bubble gum on the what do you call those things?
One people? Way
people. Loop,
people. One way. Add that to the list of things. And so she's like there helping him do these hits. She's like fake asking the person to open the door, and he busts in, murders them. And so it's pretty dark stuff happening with, but it was like a fun montage. So that was one other scene that I wanted to bring up. Is there any other ones that stood out?
I just kind of thought that, yeah, Leon is like, he's a very talented hitman, but he kind of sucks at just killing the one target. Like everything I've heard about being a hitman is that you would have a plan to attack your target and get them and get out. Every hit job that he does, he has zero plan other than to barge in, kill anyone that stops him, and kill the target. Like there's one scene later on where he goes and kills one of Gary Oldman's partners. And he busts into like this restaurant, kills six other people, and then kills the guy. It's like, who, what, why? Like, why would this be your approach? Like, uh-huh. I don't know. That just kind of struck me as really weird. This guy is a professional, but he just murders entire groups of people to get his target.
Instead of Leon the professional. Maybe that's why his thing is $5,000. Mm. You know, maybe if he was more clean, he would get $25,000.
Mm.
I think if I had seen this movie in 94, were like 2000 when I was working at West Coast. And if it really like was one of the early action movies that I had seen, I think I probably would have fallen in love with this movie. But having seen so many action movies since this movie has come out, it didn't exactly blow me away. That's my overall vibe. Like it's probably still a 3.5-star movie, but it's definitely not like a 5-star banger for me. And Scotty's turning off the podcast app. I'm sure everyone else is probably sending a DM to me right now, but that's my truth. And I'm going to be honest with the villagers as I always am. Mm-hmm. But if I had seen this growing up, you know, this is probably the Keaton nostalgia factor on reverse for me. But that's just me, you know, Danny.
I don't know if I agree with you. But I'm not far off from you.
Okay.
It's not a 5-banger for me. There is, maybe it's because we watched the international vibe trailer. Movie.
Extended cut.
The extended cut. Maybe the truncated version was better. But I don't know. I remember liking it when I saw it a while ago. But in this viewing, I was just kind of waiting for the big scenes and didn't care too much about the filler. So I was just kind of like, let's get to this part. Let's get to that part. So maybe I'm just a little bored of it as well. For me though, it's a 4-star movie because I really think Natalie Portman is unreal in this movie. We've talked about kid actors before. I think she is just incredible. Her scenes are unreal. You know that she's just a natural when it comes to this kind of performance. And so it's a 4-star for me. I do love this movie. It's not perfect, but I do have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, you could tell Natalie was destined for big things just by seeing her performance in this.
She's destined for Star Wars.
Your queen.
Frodo, it's time to let it out.
One other thing I'd like to say is... what Danny was saying about the cover earlier, Leon's look is really fantastic in this. Like it's iconic. The glasses, the hat, the trench coat. It's a great look. He just looks amazing. I was thinking like, could I wear that hat? I was really struggling with how to rate this movie. And I feel as if I'm at a crossroads with my rating and how I feel about movies. And I was stewing over this of how do I express what, you know, how do I rate this movie? And it came to me, something that I'm calling the proto lens TM patent pending. It's a proto lens star rating process. And what you do is you imagine that yourself is coming to you and asking you if they should watch this movie. So it'd be something like, "Hey, Proto, how you doing? Oh, Mr. Proto, I'm doing great. How you doing? Well, I'm thinking about watching a movie, thinking about watching Leone, The Professional. Have you ever seen it?" Say, "Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen that movie. Well, what did you think of it? What would you rate it?" And that's how, because I want to communicate how I feel about it. And I know what stars mean to me. Stars are, we've all talked about this before. It's kind of a confusing thing. It means different things for different people, but I know what it means to me. So if I hadn't seen this movie before and I wanted to know how to feel about it, I would say, "This movie is a serious snooze fest. I was checked out halfway through it. It's a gimmick story that relied on style to carry it. Leone is maybe the worst hitman I've ever seen depicted in a movie, who kills a whole room of people to get to the target, who has zero plan going into a job. Why is Gary Oldman so weird? This movie didn't make much sense to me. And Proto, I gave it 1 star.
Oh my gosh. I just got word that everyone just stopped supporting our Patreon. They all just unsubscribed after that.
We had a good run. We had a real good run.
Danny, cancel the membership card order real quick. Just hold back on that charge. Star. You know, it's funny you mentioned star ratings being confusing. I follow a few people that don't do star ratings. They only do the like. And I am like very envious of that life. You know, writing a review and just doing the like or the not like. It's very intriguing to me and intellectually arousing. But I can't go that route now. I can't start it.
It's cowards.
1 star. Is this two 1 star episodes in a row? Can anyone confirm that? Is that real?
Can't be confirmed.
What did we do last week? No, first. Last Action Hero. So 2 out of the 3 movies we did got a 1 star garbanzo rating.
Man.
I need to get a sound effect for the garbanzo word and then just play that. Was not expecting that, I'll be honest, but just a reminder, if you're still subscribed to the Patreon, if you're still in the Discord, keep in mind, if you leave the Patreon, you leave the Discord. You know, we have Batman Returns. Before you quit, listen to that Batman Returns episode. You know, it's a real good one. There you have it. Next week is Wings, but we also have some voicemails to get to. We have some feedback on IG that we want to get to. So 267-409-6983 or 70mmpod@gmail.com if you want to shoot us an audio file. Let me get to that right now.
What up, 70mm? Caleb calling. Just wanted to call and let you guys know I'm still out here, still flying, still love you guys. Very excited about Apex Season 6. And looking forward to your guys' episode on it next week. Anyway, love the podcast. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Danny is so close to hitting Diamond in Season 5. By the time this episode posts, we'll have 1 day left to get Diamond status. Oh my gosh. Do you believe?
Feels meant to be.
70mm. It is Brian Leone, The Professional. What a great movie. Natalie Portman, just being awesome. I remember watching it with my friends, discussing the difference between The Professional and Specialist, which I believe is the call for the psychiatrist.
Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone, hitman movie. Just loving Luc Besson, following his career thereafter. Gary Oldman is an awesome dude. And watching Gary Oldman talk about Mozart, being Austrian, it's Austrian, you know, that's amazing. He said, "Go back inside." I could pretend to be Gary Oldman from that movie all day. just so good. Anyway, Leon, The Professional, fantastic movie. Great job picking movies. Bye.
Thank you, Brian.
People love this movie.
Danny is our saving grace at this point on the show. He is holding the Bilgers together by threads. I'm looking at our letterbox for this movie. Let's see. A lot of 4-star ratings. Mikey P's a 4-star banger on this one. Rob McNeil, who just won the free year of Letterbox Pros, a 4-star rater. Now I see why this put Besson and Portman on the map.
I do agree with that, but I wonder when's the last time they've seen this, you know?
That's a good point. That is a real good point.
Will they update their star ratings after they listen to this podcast?
That's a challenge to everyone.
A challenge
right
to the
now.
Villagers.
We got a few DMs. Brad Brolo, I was waiting for you guys to get going on this movie. Clap, 4 clap emojis. I'm not sure what emoji he's going to be sending us after this episode. it's a tremendous flick. You'll enjoy it. We asked on IG what, you know, some other fave action movies are. Carter, what do you think your favorite action movie is?
Oh, God. These questions. I have no idea.
We'll come back to you. Why don't you marinate on it? Let's see. Mission Impossible 3, Andy. Golly, Mission Impossible 3. You want to weep openly in a Tom Cruise movie? Watch Mission Impossible 3.
Is that when Tom has the mullet, or is that 4 or 2?
Two, he has a long hair, and then again in 5.
Okay.
Or 4 or 5.
John Woo 2.
Malik Jason says The Expendables 2. Jean-Claude Van Damme. That was during, I think, Sylvester...
Those movies good?
They're a movie. That's a no. That was during Sylvester Stallone's like HGH period, where he's just doing steroids left and right. Alleged. I don't want to get sued, but I'm pretty sure he was. Mitt Hurl says Die Hard. Just to get off the bat, a lot of people said John Wick. Mel Mendez said John Wick. Davey G said John Wick. Middle Casey says John Wick. And we got 2 votes for the Bourne trilogy.
No, thank you.
Will Latner and No Soul, No Problem, who did some amazing fan art last week, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Matty Chase says Die Hard or Sicario. I don't really know if I considered Sicario an action movie. It's sort of like drama thriller. Hayden says Edge of Tomorrow, Tom Cruise.
Hmm.
Is that an action movie?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's the thing about this, like... Where do you draw the line?
Action.
Okay. All right. Then I'd probably say The Matrix is my favorite action movie.
Oh. You know, Neil said The Matrix as well. That was his answer.
Thank you, Neil.
Are we?
No.
Why not? Why no? Because you like it?
Everyone's seen it 100 times.
You're right.
Yeah, but everyone's seen some of the other movies we've seen 100 times. Independence Day, The Mummy, Jaws. People have seen that thousands of times.
Come on.
We'll see what the villagers say. Maybe that'll be the first villager Patreon vote, The Matrix. Proto's going to be out sick on assignment that episode. Little Sunflower says Atomic Blonde. It's better than John Wick.
What? Excuse
me? Holy cow. Am I watching Atomic Blonde?
Is that with Charlize?
Or is that is a, yeah. I think that's Charlize Theron.
Oh.
Jonesy loves beer, friend of the show. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade for the win.
Thank you, Jonesy.
There we go.
Wow.
Finally.
Now we're getting real.
T. Stover says Bad Boys 2. It's ridiculous.
Bad Boys 2 is no joke.
I haven't seen the new one yet.
No one has.
Double says Guns Akimbo. Ren Mike D says Never Too Young to Die, starring John Stamos. It's a good pick. That is a real good pick. Mikey P says Loaded Weapon, classic. Not Cool PDX says Free Fire, and Brent says The Raid. I still haven't seen The Raid. I remember that lighting the fires when that movie came out. Finally, Shatterball says, does Django Unchained count? Prada, what's your vote on Django Unchained as an action film?
There's action.
Using my words against me.
Mm-hmm.
That blue suit. Oof.
All right. Next week, Wings. First ever Oscar winner for Best Picture. We also launched our Patreon today. It's a way to connect with the villagers. Support the show. We launched the storefront, vhsvillage.com. And if you become a supporter of the show, you get a tasty 20% off discount to that storefront. any day of the week just for you. Join our Discord. Let's be friends and talk about movies. Any closing thoughts, Proto, after another one-star movie for you as you lead into the next episode?
I've said all I can say about Leon. I'm sorry to those that love this. I know there's others out there like me. I'm standing up for you.
We'll see everybody next week. .70mm is a VHS Village production and produced by Dale_A. Sponsored by Half Double Design. Original artwork provided by Danny Haas. Spiritual guidance provided by Protolexus. This episode was mixed and edited by me, Slim. Special thanks to the good people at Letterboxd, and for a chance to win a pro Letterboxd account, share the show and tag us on social media, @70mmpod. Goodbye.